I want to thank you for your presence this morning. We have the privilege of coming before the Lord. And there are some lessons that we need to hear and be reminded of often. And sometimes those lessons come to us not from a pulpit, but from life experiences. I want to talk to you about sudden change. There are oftentimes in life, whether it be a death, an illness, some other event, that our life changes because we've suddenly come to realize a truth that we should always have known, is that this life is temporary. And my brethren, we need kinds like having sudden change. We should not get comfortable with this life. I'm thankful for the abundance. I'm thankful for regularity and predictability. But I dare not let those blessings cause me to forget the nature of this world and really where I'm going. Why did God curse the ground after sin came into this world? When sin came into this world, at that point, no death had been experienced. The world was a very different place. Do you know what would have happened if sin had come to this world and we lived forever? We would have become the most prideful, arrogant, ungodly, rebellious people. If you look at the cursing of the earth, while it's painful for us, death came to existence. Pain came into existence. Disease came into existence. The terrible things that we would hate to see, where there's this natural disasters or an infant dies at birth or even before birth. We see the tragedies and we ask, why, God? In Genesis 3:17, after discussing the sin they committed, it says, cursed is the ground for your sake. I often need to hurt, and I often need to have my feet knocked out from under me to understand the nature of this world. In verse 18 it says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat, till you return to the ground. I've oftentimes said that we've got great blessings being here at the University Church. We have lots of youth. But you know what happens when you have a congregation with lots of youth? There are some things you don't see as much of, like death, or sudden illnesses that could result in death. Now, I want to tell you, I'm okay with not having that, okay? I'm okay, but the thing that we do see, those things happen. And why I'm preaching the lesson this morning. I know that many of us have been praying, have been humbled by the sudden illness of our dear sister. And I'm thankful for the prayers that have been answered. But I think we can profit from looking back and remembering. I used to think as a kid, I remember we'd play out on the front porch and the mailman would come, and it has been forever, I guess. I don't know when it first started, but the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, you know. Oh, you can win $1 million. And I can remember as a kid, oh boy, wouldn't it be great if I won $1 million? And maybe I would have survived it. I know this sounds weird. You might be other people like, this is really weird, Larry. But you know what? I'm glad I didn't win it. It's likely that end up having a life of abundance and ease that it could have destroyed me. By the way, do you know what happens when those people win lotteries? You go look at it. Type in people who win. The majority of people who win lotteries, it destroys their life. There's something about no longer having to work and no longer having to struggle and somehow having everything you want. And by the way, the money you win in a lottery is only a little bit. It runs out too. Even in the Old and New Testament, God's people were warned about having a right attitude toward God's blessings. God gives us great things. Here, the people of Israel, they were going to go into a land that flowed with milk and honey. But notice, in the midst of these blessings, God says, hey, don't think this ease makes you somehow the controller of the universe. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. Verse 12, it says, lest when you have eaten and are full and built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your hearts and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's good. But here's the danger for us. Our stubbornness, our short-sightedness, our looking at things as if that's the essence of life. In verse 14, it says, when your heart is lifted up, then you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. In verse 17, it says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. Our PowerPoint's not advancing. We're not advancing on the PowerPoint. Okay, all right, very good, all right. I love technology, but sometimes it rebels against me here. All right. Another thing that we need to understand is that life is temporary. I know we hear it. How many times have you heard life is temporary? But do we live as if it is? In Psalms 90 and verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain heart of wisdom. And guess what? This is a teaching time. I was looking at some book that somebody wrote about this, and they say there are times that we need a 2x4 to the side of the head. There are times that we need to understand life's temporary. By the way, you look at history. We live in a very wonderful time as far as our health and life longevity. If you'd lived 100 years ago, most children didn't survive, or many of them didn't survive past 5 years old. Certainly 200 years ago, that would be true. Death was far more personal and common and experienced. Whatever, we all still going to die, but we need to learn from that. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, do we think this way? Give us this day our daily bread. How many of us have worried about eating? And I don't want us to become fearful and, oh, the world's going to end, but I'm talking about there's a gratitude. My God has given me health. He has given me this food. And we should understand, we should be thankful and understand. It is God that gives us. We need sudden changes. As James says in James 4:13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is leaving a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Let's learn. Let's talk a few things. Again, I'm not going to be teaching anything you haven't heard before. But we need to make sure we hear it and it's a reality. First off, God pleads with us to build a foundation now. My brethren, you don't know what's coming in your life. I sound like an old guy, don't I? You're going to experience a lot of things. You're going to be a lot of things you've experienced I've never experienced. I don't know what may happen. But there will come a day where biblically there will be a flood. Talk about all the rain we've had right now. I can imagine if you go to probably some of the streams and so on. Have you ever been near a flooded stream? There's just an awesomeness to the power of water. God tells us in Scripture in many ways, there comes floods in our life and we need to be preparing for it. Dealing with the Christian's armor in Ephesians 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Let me tell you something, brethren. Lot's not under our control. As a parent, my child's taking a trip. Again, not out of worry, but out of legitimacy. So, you know, my child could have an accident. I could get that call. It may happen to me. I ride a bike some, and I'm out on the street, and I try to be really careful, but there's sometimes I get out on that bike, and you know, this may be the last day I live. Something could happen. Again, I'm not going out of fear, just pull into a hole. No, the sky is falling. But there is is a great value in knowing that this day could be the day of my death. This day could be a day when a storm comes and my life changes dramatically. And I can do that and say, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for another day of help. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the time that I have right now. This is not a given. But you see, you prepare. I recently run across some of these tornado TV shows. I guess I've always enjoyed that. I've always had tornado dreams, you know, when I was a kid, you know, what to do with the tornado and hide from the tornado and so on. But could you imagine facing a tornado and then you decided the warning is given, you start digging a tornado shelter? You don't do that. You would have to go and find something that's already there. You see, one of the critical things that we should be doing right now in our life is building our shelter now while things are good. I've been tempted to have our young people, the wise man built his house upon the rock. We're not going to do that, but we could. You know, we have the children's song in our vacation Bible school. Listen to this. Luke 6:47. Jesus says, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Why? What? Have you ever dug a foundation? I remember one time, my dad, loved my dad, he had me always work. You know, he put me to work a lot. I remember one time we decided to dig out our basement. And it was rock and clay. And we had to regularly rent a jackhammer, you know, and then move. I learned something about digging in rock. Why would you build a foundation on the rock? Why not do it on squishy mud? It'd be a lot easier to dig, won't it? Well, you know, here's the idea of tremendous effort being taken ahead of time and maybe way ahead of time for when a flood comes. It says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing. It's like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Right now, brethren, we're hearing, are we building? And may the Lord help us all to build. It's so easy when we know that it's going to be easy, and really tomorrow ought to be like yesterday, but it will not always be that way. The day of sudden change. Come. Let me give another example. Peter. Man, Peter's dedicated. Peter spent 3.5 years with our Lord, and before that, he was a disciple of John. Peter forsook his business. He listened to the Lord teach, but guess what Jesus wanted him? He wanted him to be prepared for a storm that was coming that he was unprepared for. Listen to Luke 22. What if Jesus said that about you and me? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Could you imagine, Peter, for years now, day in and day out, Jesus was there. Jesus is the Son of God. He could work miracles. They got to hear Jesus teach. He knew that God was with Jesus. He knew that he was a disciple of Jesus. All these yesterdays were assurance of what tomorrow is going to be. But guess what? That tomorrow changed. When that tomorrow changed, and before the sudden change came, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and took Peter and the two other disciples with him. In verse 40 says, then he came to the disciples and found them asleep. Now notice, and he said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we know the rest of the story. That sudden change came upon Peter. Peter did not think Jesus could be crucified. He rebuked Jesus when Jesus says, I'm going to die. Far be it from you, Lord. He was unprepared and he fell in that day of sudden change. Now, by the way, brethren, we do have failures too. It might be that what we do is we fail and we go into a spiritual crash and we can come back from it. There's not a one of us here who could not be pulled away and could not into a web of sin, but we could come out of it. It'd be better never to go into it. And so what we need is we need to get into God's Word, is to dig in that foundation. We need to hear. We need to worship. Look at John 16. Here, Jesus, again, right before his crucifixion, right before the sudden change, and he knew his disciples weren't getting it. They were saying this verse, oh, we get it now, Jesus, we get it. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? He knew they didn't get it, but then again, he goes on and teaches, for after their crash, they can look back on this and say, you know what, we were arrogant, we were unprepared, but we can learn. Jesus says, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Building a foundation is knowing God is with you. And when the day of adversity comes, as we read in Psalms 22, Jesus could go back and say, I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know how you've provided. You're enthroned upon the praises of Israel. He was ready. My son Nathan, who has run cross-country and track and put a lot of miles in years past, kind of got out of running the last few years, and he's decided he's going to run a marathon in December. Now, a marathon's kind of a crazy thing to do, 26 miles, 385 yards. Let me tell you something. If you and I are going to run a marathon, when do you start training? Technically, I urge most people to go a few years before you run a marathon. Now, he's got some experience, but even as a trained runner, you need at least a year to train. Could you imagine somebody waiting till a week before the marathon to decide they're going to train? That's kind of funny, isn't it, David? I know David and I used to do a lot of running. We kind of laughed one time about this fighter that talked about he was training hard by running 2 miles a week or 2 miles a day or something. We thought that was really funny, you know. You know, when you train for a marathon, you gotta be ready. You got to prepare. 1 Peter 1, you know what happened to Peter? He failed. He denied the Lord. You know what happened to the apostles? They failed. They forsook him and went into hiding. But guess what? They changed. What changed them is even though in their failure, they came to see that Jesus indeed was crucified and was raised from the dead, that connects him to us. His resurrection assures our resurrection. His death gives us forgiveness. His power is now our power. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in this context, because we know we can suffer and that suffering can make us strong, because we know through the light of God's promises, and even through the tears that Peter once had shed because he had forsaken the Lord, he developed a living hope, knowing that indeed there is a glory that we're going to experience. Brethren, in preparing a foundation, it's a mentality that every day we live, we understand that this life is temporary. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let me give you an example. You know, I appreciate, brethren, we had Wednesday night. We had an opportunity for those who could. We came early and we had a prayer time for Anna. And I believe God is answering our prayers. But you see, we as Christians, when we face the day of adversity, we can face it very differently than the world. Let me talk to you about Belshazzar. There's an event that Daniel and Belshazzar faced alike. It was a day of sudden change. Nobody knew that night that Babylon was going to fall. They didn't realize the Persians had diverted the river and they could just walk right under the fortifications. This was going to be the last night of that Babylonian empire, and no one had a clue. Belshazzar decided to get the items from the temple of God from storage and had a drunken party. And he should have known better. And matter of fact, later Daniel points this out to him in Daniel 5:20. It speaks of his father Nebuchadnezzar. He says, but when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. And in verse 21 it says, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. This was a well-known thing. The greatest king in Babylon's history was taken out in a moment, left to be a crazy man, then brought back to rule by God. Here's his son. In verse 22 it says, but you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all of this. And you've lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And he talks about his drunkenness and his speech, but I love later on in the verse, he says this, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all of your ways, you have not glorified. Arrogance, unpreparedness. Brethren, it could happen to us. We can drift into a stupor by thinking life's always going to be the way it is. You see what happened here with Belshazzar? Life, this is Babylon, we can't fall. This is Babylon, we got the walls. This is Babylon, we got the military. We are the great superpower. Ever heard that before? He didn't prepare himself because he didn't think about God. People who don't think about God, Romans 1:28 says they have a debased mind. People who do not think about God, in Ephesians 4, it talks about how they walk in the futility of their mind. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened. I like how it's put in verse 19, that they're past feeling. If we do not put ourselves to see the unseen and understand the temporary nature of life, we can be just like Belshazzar. Imagine with me, could you? Let's take ourselves, go back in time, and imagine Belshazzar when the sudden change came. The sudden change didn't come when he heard that the army had gone underneath the wall. God brought the sudden change. They're drunken, they're laughing, they're taking the temple of God. Yeah, we're better than that God. And the next thing you know, God interrupted the party. In verse 5 it says, in the same hour the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked together against each other. Belshazzar thought this day was going to be like every other day, but he came into the presence of God. By the way, brethren, one day we're all going to be in the presence of God. One day we're all going to see God. But here Belshazzar saw God and he was unprepared. All he had was terror and fear. And it got worse. He couldn't read the writing. He tried to get his men to read the writing. They couldn't do it. Then they sent for Daniel. And you can see terror upon terror. When you are unprepared, that day of sudden change can be a terrible and pitiful terror. It says, then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled, his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. Let's talk about Daniel. Daniel by this time was old, and he had served God a long time. Daniel had seen his country fall. He had seen his brethren slaughtered. But Daniel also see how God had taken care of him in his different crises, his different days of change, and he knew that what you do with God, you wait on God. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so here's Daniel. He knew that this Babylon's going to fall. May not know the specific details, but he's seen countries go up and down. He knows who God is. We're talking about wisdom. Proverbs 8:32, this is the kind of wisdom Daniel had. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. And do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. How do we wait and watch? We pray, we worship, we think, we take each day and put ourselves before God, understanding what life is about. That's wisdom. That's what Daniel had done. Guess what happened? The king, who can read this? If you can read this, I'm going to make you ruler of half the kingdom. I'm going to give you this chain of gold. I'm going to give you all of these things. And you know what Daniel knew? They didn't mean anything to him. As he tries to praise Daniel, I've heard of you, that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. And notice what Daniel says. And Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself. There's something about really knowing God where things and money and the comforts of this life, while we appreciate them, that's not who we are. And brethren, it takes a real challenge to get our mind to see that. But you see, Daniel had been seeing it for some time. He was taken from home. He was put at risk many times. You know the accounts in the book of Daniel. But from a youth, he learned this. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He had learned to trust God on a daily basis and won several small battles before he faced the big battles, I guess. He faced battles big and small. Let's make some applications and draw a conclusion to the lesson. You know, a sudden change is good. Before I became a Christian as a young man in high school, I thought I had died. I really thought I had died. I was in an accident. I'd passed out. The car flipped over. And I remember with every bit of my soul, I thought I was dead. And that was very interesting. Do you ever think you're dead? First thing I was thinking about, I'm going to meet God and I'm not ready. And I can remember just praying in my soul, Lord, give me a second chance. I remember one time after I'd become a Christian, a few years later I was working the summer at O'Neill Steel and we had a situation where we almost died. We were dealing with pulling a rail car. I won't give you the details of it, but we pretty well thought that the crane was going to get pulled down on top of us. And I can remember us trying to keep that from happening, and it looked like it failed. It looked like it was over. Unfortunately, the crane didn't get pulled down, and we survived it. And I'll never forget, the whole crew kind of sitting down looking at each other, and you know what? Our day changed. And we were really happy. I mean, the things we thought that were important that day suddenly didn't become very important. That sudden change made us appreciate some things. We're all going to experience them. Sudden change oftentimes will result in different view. How many of you almost ever have had an accident? Or maybe have had an accident and you survived it. I mean, can I go on? I mean, how many sudden changes can we talk about? If we go from God's Word, it can help us. First off, we need to wake out of sleep. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. And brethren, I will have to tell you, preaching it and for you and I to try to get it that way as a challenge, and we need to learn it that way, but let me tell you, God will teach us. We will have the days of flood. There will be times this will come to us. I like how Romans 13:11 puts it. and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up. Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Sometimes in that hurt, it's grateful to say, you know, I've got heaven. Sometimes when we are struggling and aching and our body may be failing, it's great to know that one day I'm going to have a body that will last forever. It'll change our practices. It'll change our mind. As verse 2 of Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who deserves our life, appears, then you'll also appear with Him in glory. Let me tell you where I've come to appreciate the hope of heaven the most is when I'm suffering. Sudden changes will teach us real value. I pray God answers all of our prayers with Anna. It would be pretty neat to have her back with us. You've had loved ones you've prayed for. And in that time of praying, it changes everything. I mean, your life, the things you think about. And then to be able to see, again, God can answer prayer both ways. God will do what's best. God will answer the prayers what is best. But you know what, if somebody cheats me out of $100 and then I have somebody I love that's restored to health, I want to tell you, somebody cheating me out of $100 doesn't mean very much, does it? If things don't go well politically in this country and the country's a mess, but I can end up having somebody precious to me restored to me, you know, as I begin to think about what matters, there's just something about that sudden change. You look at your life and say, what have I been fussing about? What have I been worried about? Why have I got myself worked up about things that when the second coming occurs won't last this long? As verse 11 of 2 Peter 3 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? I sometimes have to say, God, forgive me for the emphasis and all of my emotion being taken up on things that aren't that important. Thank you for the sudden change. And we can talk about money. We can talk about relationships. But let me just look at verse 6 through 8 of dealing with money. He says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. You know what, brethren? It's probably better that you and I struggle. That sometimes we struggle in paying the bills, or that we struggle with our health, or that we struggle with people maybe not treating us as they ought to, because these things are not what life is about. And you get too focused on these things, it can destroy you. You could be drowned in destruction and perdition, verse 9. Verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith, and their greediness have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The time of sudden change are good for us to see what will last. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7 is a passage of sudden change. In the context here, there's some present distress, something that hadn't been characteristic, that in the future was not going to be characteristic, but something that the Corinthians were experiencing right then. They were having sudden change. Look at how it changed their thinking. But I say, brethren, that the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world, not as misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. God, thank you occasions in our life where the rug has been pulled out and we can understand what is really important. Last point. Day of trial ought to always draw us closer to God. Now, some people don't. Some people, day of trial makes them angry and bitter and they get further away. As one person says, the sun that softens the wax sometimes will harden the clay. I hope that all of us, even though we may not be as prepared as we ought, we still will let that day of calamity draw us closer. We were shocked this week, weren't we? How in the world does a healthy student go in a matter of a day to being in a coma near death? Many of you have already had experiences with your parents, with loved ones, where the diagnosis comes. And I pray that you don't have the bolt from the blue. The bolt from the blue is where you have somebody alive and well, and the next day they're dead, and you don't have time to talk to them. I was talking to Belinda about this a little before services. I remember when David's cancer was first diagnosed and he had the operation. He was here. David called me the night before. He said, "I want you to do my funeral, if that was the case, if that happened." But then he talked to me later after that first operation of how there were people that he had preached to and had worked with, and some hadn't got their lives right with the Lord. Guess what they did? There were several because of what happened to David. They made their lives right. You know, the sudden changes, the things that happen, we're going to hurt. Things are going to happen. But you know what? If my suffering or your suffering, if the things that could happen to us could be used as a tool to turn somebody else to the Lord, let that be. And I'll tell you, where I've really been strengthened is seeing loved ones die. Rusty, I was thinking of Pam. I could look at the faces of others and I could think of others that how they faced death, and you visit that hospital room and they give you more strength than you give them. That's the kind of occasions that can really, really be beneficial. Now let me tell you another kind, and then the lesson will be yours. Sometimes a sudden change comes when I drift into sin and hide it and I get rebuked. I'm thinking of David. David went a year and he had committed adultery. He had committed murder. And we're not going to read Psalms 51, but you can go look at the account of David. David needed a sudden change, and it came in the form of a preacher. And Nathan told David, "You art the man." And there was a sudden change that resulted in good. In 2 Corinthians 7:9, it says, "Now rejoice, not that you were made sorrow, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorrow in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death." I want to tell you, brethren, every one of us at times in our life will need to hear a hard message. You've sinned. And it's going to hurt, and maybe we have drifted and we haven't caught it. But you know what's great? This is true of us as Christians. My brethren, we have no super Christians here. There will come days where we will need to hear something and say, "I have sinned," and Lord will take you back. Brethren will take you back. That's a good sudden change. And those Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 7:11, it says, "But observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, and all these things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter." It's a great day when we can confess our sins to God in repentance and be forgiven. It's a great day when we can talk with others and say, "I have sinned against you, forgive me." It is a great day when we are helped in our walk with the Lord. I hope this congregation will always be a congregation that a Christian, regardless of what they've done, regardless of where they're at, they could come back to the Lord and they'll find a group of Christians here that will stand with them and not beat on their head, but welcome them and encourage them. I pray that we'll always be such a congregation. Finally, when we prepare ourselves as we ought to on the day of our death, we can know the Lord will be with us. Paul talked about in 2 Timothy 4, I finished the race. He was confident that the Lord was going to be receive him. Even in his trial, in his trial that could have resulted in his death, I don't think this one did, but there's some debate on that. But here in the previous one, there's another one coming. But in one time, no Christian stood with him. But he, verse 17 says, but the Lord stood with me. What will make our day of adversity bearable? What will make our day of death bearable is the Lord. I've been told I maybe say a little too much about being old, but I got to put an old message in here a little bit. The day of my death is a whole lot closer than it used to be. I don't know what it's going to be. It could be today. And I think about death a little more because I think it's good. I think it's good because we can understand that here God's given us promises. Why did Jesus came? He took on flesh and blood to be our sacrifice. But I love verse 15 that he released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I can face death as an opportunity to be with my God. I love the song, Be With Me. I cannot live without thee. We'll extend the invitation here. My brethren, I want to express my appreciation to so many of you who have responded so well at the occasion that we've had. The prayers, the post, I know the family would be thankful to you as well. Let's not forget this. Let's not forget what we've experienced and the comfort that God gives. Let us remember these days. And I would say today, if there these occasions could give you an opportunity to draw closer to God, we urge you to do that. If you've never become a Christian, why not put on Christ in baptism this morning? You need to turn to God and seek His forgiveness. You do that. You do that directly. If we can assist you in any way in a public way, we would do that as well. You know, our God wants to save us. And every suffering, every bad thing that happens is meant to teach us the lesson that we need a God who will receive us and take us if we will but be humbled and come to Him. If we can assist you in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?